Blog Talk Radio.
Evolution Show. We want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Thank you for listening. To all of the chat line listeners, as always, just remember, in order to submit your question or comments, you do have to be a registered follower of the show. And just for tonight, if you're not a registered follower, you can maybe just try calling in tonight at the number 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. That's if you're not a registered follower. For those of you who are listening on the phone, remember you only have to select the number one if you are wanting to be pulled in to the show to ask a question or to comment. So for all of you, if you have not and you have the ability to become a registered follower of the show, please do that, because that means you can listen from anywhere. You can listen on your smartphones. If you're not, you know, at a place where you can listen, and if you have one of the smartphones, you can listen online, of course. So if you have not become a registered follower, please do that. It also helps our ratings as well. So just remember, you can do that at blogtalkradio.com/butterflyevolution. If you can't remember all of that, just remember Blog Talk Radio, and you can Google, you can search in there, search engine, Butterfly Evolution, or my name or Tika's name, and it'll come up there as well. And you just follow the steps to become a registered follower. In addition, as we come on each night, and we're so thankful that we continue to see the numbers grow, I'm more thankful that so many of you have been with us from the beginning and have just stuck in there with us. That is more important to me than even the new people that come on. So I want to just say a special thanks for those of you who have been with us from the beginning and just put us on your schedule for each Monday night. So thankful to you. In saying that, we do welcome new people, because we should be about healing for everyone. As we heal, I know the more I deal with my issues, the more I heal, the more I want to share it, the more I want everybody, particularly my loved ones, you know, you just want to deal with them in honesty. You want to go to them in honesty. You want them to come to you with honesty and love. And so as I grow, I find the need to want to share that. So tell people about the show. As you go about your lives at work and with your friends and your family as well, your circle, share the show with people, give them the information, and hopefully they will, you know, start to listen in as well. For those of you who are in Memphis, our listeners that are from Memphis, just a few things we want to share with you all that we are trying to grow as well, and that is the 901 Butterflies. That is the girls group here in Memphis that we meet with them on a consistent basis. We're really trying to grow that and really getting ready to take that to another level. And again, this is for young girls. We call them 901 Butterflies. If you're interested in any of these things that I'm going to call out tonight, just connect with us after the show. The other thing is the College Readiness Program, and that's scheduled for July 16th, I believe. Let's see here. I'm sorry, July 23rd through the 27th, and that's a program for college students or freshman students that are enrolled or will be going to a college or a university in the fall of 2012. We are assisting the author Erica Murray, who was on the show last year. I believe it was last year. I think so. She wrote the book CEO to the Power of You, and she's going around to different states doing that program for college students, and soon we'll have the same thing for, or be helping her with the same program for high school students as well. So that is the College Readiness Program. Really excited about these two things with the teens. I was talking to one of the young ladies who's helping put it together. We're going to call it Meltdown Monday for Teens. And basically this will be a night, and we're going to make this part of the radio show. So don't leave us on those days, because we need to help our young people so that they are not our age finding themselves trying to become well people or whole and healthy, emotional, healthy people. So the sooner we can catch them, the sooner that we can help them identify their struggles of the mind, their secret struggles, their strongholds, their bondage, the things that we can help them deal with now, the better they will be, the better mothers and fathers, the better people they will be. And that will be a program for young boys and young women, where we will come together on those Monday nights and have open discussion about so many things. So the last one is Making Love Work, and this will be on a Monday night as well for couples. And we're going to try to make this very interesting so that even single people or people that are looking, you know, to get into a healthy, whole relationship, just sharing the ways that people have found ways to make it work. So share these things with people. Again, if you're interested in any of them, or you know someone that may be interested, please let us know. You can reach us always again on Facebook, and we've given out our numbers many times, but you can send an email through the Blog Talk Radio show as well. So moving forward into tonight's topic, again, very, very helpful and interesting topic and applicable to my life. I'm always amazed, as I think Tika is as well, as how these topics really make us dig deep and kind of realize what we are still dealing with as well. So this was one of those ones for me this time again, but I'm thankful. So moving on, I want to start tonight's show out a little bit different. I usually start out with definitions, but I want to really start out with some scripture this time around, because I think it's really needed and it will give you something to kind of hold on to as we go through tonight's show. So the first one being Philippians 4:8, and basically we're all probably familiar with this one. It's telling us to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and anything that is of good report, things of virtue, anything that is about praise, think on these things. So starting out with that, Philippians 4:8, which is telling us how to think or what to think on. And I wanted to pull out virtue, because all the other things you're probably really familiar with, the truth, honesty, just, pure, lovely, good report, and then virtue, which just means beneficial, advantage, and quality. So that means a lot. Definition certainly does mean a lot. So think about that as we go through. The second verse is Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle, and I'm going to read this one just as it is. I just kind of paraphrased the other one. But Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That one is Ephesians 6:12. Basically, I wanted to kind of put these verses out there again so that as we move forward, that, and as you start to think about, because as we go through the show, I'm sure you're going to start thinking about, or hopefully you will start thinking about, your personal thoughts. And as we go through that, remember those two scriptures. One's telling us to think about those things that are good, and one's telling us, of course, what we're up against. So think about those as we go through, and let's just kind of review each verse and dissect each verse again. Philippians telling us what to think on, and Ephesians telling us what we're up against. And I wanted to give you an example to think about on Ephesians. Let's take boxers and basketball teams. We know, or hopefully we know that in most cases, I know boxers do it, and I'm pretty sure basketball teams do it as well. They really sit countless hours, or maybe their managers do this, and study the opponent. And basically the definition of an opponent for this show tonight, it is the definition as well, but I thought it was even more important to pull it out, is enemy. So they study basically who they are up against. And sometimes, going back to the verse, I don't think we really think about what we're up against. Number one, we're fighting our own selves. Because we're our own sin natures as well. So when Satan comes along, and of course he is our enemy. You remember I said opponent is basically the same as enemy. Satan comes along to rob, steal, and kill our joy, everything, anything that is of truth, all those things that we named out, truth, honesty, just, he is the opposite of that. So we need to really understand what that verse means and understand what we're up against, what we're fighting, who we're fighting, and why do we need to do this? Why do boxers do it? Why does basketball teams and football teams do it, or their management? Because they need to know what they're up against. They need to know how to rework their game or work their game so that they can win. So we need to start thinking about, we just really need to start thinking more, but of course about things that are of good and those things that are in our lives that we need to correct, that we need to change so that we can win. I came across a really good example. Just today, the guy was saying that, you know, if you have two dogs and they're both fighters, and you can, you know, change this to fit your life, but if they're both fighters, but you only have enough funds to feed one of the dogs, which one is going to win? It's going to be the one that you fed, that is stronger and so forth. So this made me think about, what am I feeding in my life? What are the thoughts that I allow to come in my life, come in my mind, and stay there, to take residence in my body, in my mind? Am I feeding those thoughts? Am I pondering on those thoughts? Or am I thinking about those things that are good or positive in my life? So that's where we're going to go here tonight, to get you to start thinking about what you allow in your life, as far as your thoughts and so forth. So that's where we're going to go here tonight. Tika, do you want to give anything on any of that or add more?
I wanted to add the scripture of 2 Corinthians 10:4, and it says, for the weapons you, because you was talking about the principalities and you know, with everything that we're fighting. But 2 Corinthians 10:4 just adds to that. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Not physical meaning weapons of the flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And so we in order to remove those strongholds, it is spiritual warfare, and we have to recognize it as being that, because it is not something that we can, it's not standing right in front of us to physically fight. It is in our mind, and that is where that spiritual warfare goes on. It's not physical. We cannot, and our weapons are the armor of God. The weapons are the armor of God. And one more thing I want to add to that, is because I'm going to build on it from you as well, Tammy. But this is Proverbs 25:28, and it says, a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. And what that refers to as, back in history's time, a city was only as strong as its walls. And if the walls were weak, then the city would be ruined and taken over and destroyed. And so that's where we are with our minds and with control of our lives and what our mindset, having better control of that. A lot of times we think outside circumstances dictate and determine what we think about and what we want to do and how we behave and how we respond and how we choose to live our lives. But everything is not dictated by the outside of us. And so the broken down walls are our emotions. How healthy are your walls? How strong are your walls? How secure are your walls? The walls are that strength and the your mindset, your belief system, and your self-talk.
Right. And that made me think about when you said self-control, we talked about self-control and how grace should help us be transformed. And one of the things we should be more transformed in is our self-control. And so important, you know, the mind is really it for us. I think it, whatever we hold in our minds is going to, like you said, Tika, is going to be basically our foundation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So outside circumstances certainly do make us think about, I guess, the outcome or the circumstances we're going through. But what does God tell us on that? We should not be moved by our circumstances. That's where our faith comes in at, and that also takes me back to grace, saying that, you know, we do receive that grace through our faith. You know, so where is our faith in the midst of our circumstances? When it looks dark, our spirit should be our light. God's spirit in us should be our light. So true on that. Again, as we move through this topic tonight, I really do hope you guys really think about those two verses that we started out with and the ones that Tika added, because so a man think is, you know, so he is or so he will become. So start thinking about this. We have a manual. We have God's word that tells us what to do. And again, what we're up against and who we're fighting. And if we just really think about it, like I said earlier, we're not just fighting the spiritual warfares. We're also fighting us. You know, we're fighting our own battles as well. And Satan can come to us so quickly. I mean, through those circumstances or something can happen, someone can say something to you, and you can just go back. You can instantly go back or instantly be in a moment, and you wonder, what just happened here? I was happy. What just happened? Everything was fine. So we all know. I shouldn't say we all, but for the most part, we have the knowledge. And if you don't have the knowledge, it's because you're not seeking and you don't want to know it, because the word is there, prayer is there, people are there. So I think most of us, we do have the knowledge. We're just not allowing the knowledge to guide us. We're not applying what we know. We're not making it applicable in our lives. We're not casting down those negative thoughts when they come in. We're not acknowledging that we are dealing with spiritual warfare. We are dealing with Satan trying to rob, steal, and kill. We have to know this word, and we have to be able to apply this word even in the smallest things. And it doesn't mean you have to walk around, you know, beating people up with the word. I don't think anybody should have to do that. I think the way you live your life is enough beating with the word. You can do so much through the way you live your life, through the control that you have, like Tika brought up, self-control. That to me is a huge, huge compartment in growing in Christ and becoming more Christ-like, how we respond to things, how we react to people when things are not exactly like we want them to be or they've not did something that we want them to do. So, again, knowledge without guidance, think about that. It's no different from knowing that we should eat right, we should exercise to have good health, but how many of us do it? I mean, most of us, for the most part, every new year, what are we going to do? We're going to exercise more. We're going to eat healthier. And by the time we think about it again, it's time to make another New Year's resolution. So we know what we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to go to the Word. We know we're supposed to apply it. We know what God says, for the most part, God's Word says to us. So do we do that? As I go through life, just kind of listening and this, really listening, and I'll say more listening now because I find myself trying to listen with kingdom ears, and that just means listening and hearing as God would hear us. And I do what I call people watching with kingdom eyes, so to speak, because if you don't do that with God's spirit or try to see people, and I'm not always successful in doing that, let me just say that, but I really try to just sometimes maybe put myself in that person's situation or in that person's shoes And I call that just really seeing people through God's eyes and listening with God's ears. If God was hearing me, if this was my prayer, you know, what would God say to me? But I'm realizing more and more that many of us, many people, we just seem to be going through the motions. And you've heard me say that so many times. But, you know, even in my life, I found where, you know, I'm just getting up. The days don't really add any value to my life. Yes, I'm getting up. I'm thank God that he woke me today and I'm safe. I'm healthy. I'm, you know, this and that. But the joy, I wanted the joy. You know, I wanted the peace. So I think many people are seeking and searching for something. And it's like we said last week, Tika was talking with someone and this just said, I just want to be free. And I think if we really are honest with ourselves, many of us feel that way. We just feel kind of stuck, like purposeless. What's my purpose? Something is missing. So if we would really be honest, we would admit that we often struggle with emotions and strongholds and, you know, personal actions, whether it's a lack of self-control, you know, that leaves us asking, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why do I continue to ride this emotional roller coaster? One day I'm up and the next day I feel down. Or 1 minute, like I said earlier, 1 minute you're up, 1 minute, the next minute you're down. I mean, I asked myself these questions many times. And as a matter of fact, I was sharing with Tika, I don't know, maybe about an hour ago, that I had to do it today. It's just like something just came over me and I was just like in this funk. And I just really didn't know why. I had had a great day, you know, slept in. I was off today and went and had lunch with Brandon outside, beautiful day. Got home and it was just, I didn't know where it came from. So I was just like, not today. I've been studying this topic, not today, Satan. Mm-hmm. And I had to do the craziest things because I couldn't really leave the house. We were close to getting time for the show. So I just thought, I'm going to take the garbage out. And I told Tika, you should have saw me collecting the garbage as if I was finding $100 bills around the house. I just made it out a little fun task. Took the garbage out, saw the bright light, the sun was shining, and I came back in. I put some music on, and I think I've shared this with you all, too. Every now and then, I have to just put the music on and dance to my own tune. And I love that saying, dance like no one's watching. So sometimes we just have to talk ourselves out of Satan's trap and or out of our own, you know, thinking. Because I had no idea where all that came from. I just was kind of got a little down. So I even had a cup of coffee. I've never had a cup of coffee at 5:30 in the afternoon. Never, ever, ever. So I thought, I'm just going to do something different. So we have to do that. So you make a choice to stay in that mindset or remember God's word, remember God's joy, his promises, and move forward. So we all, again, have to ask ourselves sometimes, what is wrong with me? And why do I keep riding this emotional roller coaster? And usually, you know, there is some root to it. There is something to it. Just as there probably was something to it today, and if I really think about it now, I probably could just remember why it's probably started. But I didn't think about that at that time. I just knew that I felt a little down. So point is, I didn't let it take over me. I didn't let it change my day. I didn't allow it to steal my joy, where I could have just decided I'm going to ponder on this, but I didn't. So we have a choice. Tika, do you want to get in on that, anything on that?
You can go ahead.
Okay. So remember, as we go through tonight, you know, think about that and think, are you thinking about, well, let me just ask this question. If today, if I asked or if you had to say what your thoughts were today, you know, just today, what were they like? Or over the past week, what were your thoughts like? Were they negative thoughts? Were they thoughts of something positive? Were they focusing on your past hurts and pains and disappointments and things like that? Or were they positive? So think about, if someone had the ability to read your mind, what would they see? What would they get out of it? You know, I wonder if our thoughts would be different if there was a way people was reading our mind. But guess what? God knows every thought. It's amazing how we try to keep things from people, remember the topic is the secret struggles. So we do try to keep those things, I guess, inward. Basically, we don't share those secret struggles that we have, but God knows them. So why not go to him anyway? Why not go to his word? Why not go before him in prayer with everything? Because the very one that we try to hide those things from is the very person to take our troubles to. So, you know, very important as we go through life and find ourselves on that emotional roller coaster to remember what God has promised us and what his word promised us. For me, I know I just, as looking back in my life, I think I found so much pleasure or validation, basically is a better word, in just the troubles. I'll call them troubles. And I probably make it sound like I had a terrible life, and I didn't. But, you know, the mind can make us think that what we've been through is worse than anything anybody has been through. But those things that I thought, you know, kept me down, I just found a way to validate them by blaming other people or somebody did this or somebody didn't do this. And it was just an excuse, permission for me to waddle in my mess and really become stagnant and not deal with whatever it was, whatever it is. So I was allowing myself to focus on my past hurts, on my past pains, on my disappointments, sometimes in people and sometimes in ourselves. Because I think a lot of times the things that we allow to fester in us, we try to make it about other people. But at some point, we are responsible for how we feel and how we allow things to affect us and the thoughts that we allow to become, to settle in our lives and captivate us, keep us in bondage or put us in bondage. So the people I blamed, of course, is not responsible for my mental state, where I ended up and why I had to see that there was a need to change the way I think. The way I respond to people, my lack of self-control that I saw was coming out. You know, I am at some point to blame for all of the things that I allowed to, maybe not for what happened, but how I allowed them to affect my life and if I allowed them to keep me in bondage, so to speak. So I just got to a point where I became sick and tired of being sick and tired. So think about the question that I asked you earlier. You know, what were your thoughts today? What were they? Were they positive thoughts? Were they negative thoughts? Or did you just not think really at all about you and your life and where you are? Did you just get up, go to work, go about your daily routine? I think that's just as dangerous as thinking negatively or positively, because that just means nothing is happening in your life. So we should have a plan. We should get up with a plan to be happy, to be joyful, to be thankful, and to honor God, to bring glory to God. If we take our mindset off of us, our problems, our situations, now that doesn't mean we don't deal with them, but that does mean that we're not allowing them again to hold us captive. We have some self-control over our lives and what is going on in our lives. Tika, you have anything?
I do. I wanted to add that one of the basic points in the New Testament is that the follower, of course, of Christ is to exercise self-control. So in Galatians 5:23, Paul lists self-control as one of the fruits of the Spirit, and that's by being in control. And as we're talking about the mind, one of the things you may say, okay, well, how am I supposed to get myself and my life in control? One of the ways that we get and gain ourselves and bring ourselves under a better and a healthier form of controlling what we do is through our mind. It is what is in our mind. And a lot of times you may say, a lot of times we have always heard, let go and let God. We've heard this. We grew up hearing, let go and let God. And that sounds very simple. It sounds very easy. We just give our stuff to God, give our problems to God, and let go and let God. And we all seem to ask the same thing. Why is it so hard for me to do? Why is it so hard for me to let go and let God? And it's because we are so emotionally driven. We are human beings. We are flesh and blood, and we are emotionally driven. And our emotions come from our mind. It comes from our mindset. It comes from our belief system. It comes from the way we think. And the only way that you can gain self-control in your everyday walk, self-control whether it's exercise, self-control in what you eat, self-control in what you do, your actions, your behavior, your attitude, self-control in how you spend your money, self-control in your daily, everyday task. You will not have self-control over any task if you have no self-control over your thought system, because it's in your thoughts that your thoughts set the foundation of your day. If you wake up and in your mind you're saying, if you wake up and you say and you start the day off with, oh, today's going to be a bad day, today's not going to be good, you set the course just by that thought in your mind. And so it's not easy to get your mind under control, because we want the right now fix it. We're this microwave era generation. We want the right now fix it right now. I want to be better now. I don't want to do or repeat anything that I used to do. And we forget that everything takes time. A new mindset takes time, but your new behavior takes time. Your new behavior will result from new thoughts. But in order to begin to even say, well, where do I even begin, we have to first recognize what caused us to have the mindset and the thought system that we do have. Because it just didn't, your thought system didn't just develop overnight. Your thought system didn't just develop based on most recent circumstances. Your thought system developed all the way back to childhood. Your thought system developed through your upbringing. Your thought system is partially created through the things you experienced as a child, how you watched your family handle conflict, how you watched your family handle adversity, how you watched your family handle a death in the family, how you watched your family handle healthy situations. If you watched your family come together as a family, doing get-togethers, a family reunion, if you watched any type of unity, or if you watched distance, if you watched your family or mother, father, if they were a workaholic or if they were an alcoholic or if they were emotionally void in your life, all of those things play into part of why we think the way we think. And the words that were said to you are a lot of times the words that are repeated in our minds. There's a book that I read. It's called You Are What You Think. And first when I just grabbed it, I just said, oh, You Are What You Think. Let me see what this book is talking about. And when I picked it up, I didn't realize how deep it was going to actually go into You Are What You Think, because we have no idea how we let and allow our minds to get out of control. And then we ask God to get us in control, but God cannot get you or help you to get in control when your mindset is so out of control. It's like we sit and ask God, fix it or make me better or make me right, but we won't stop and take the time to apply His word into our lives in order for Him to get us on the right track. A lot of times we don't want to change our behavior. We don't want to change anything we're doing. We just want to pray and say, God, fix it. Fix us. Fix my situation. Fix the way I think. Fix the way I act. And it's all connected to His words. Like Tammy says, He has given us a manual. But even though He has given us a manual, we have everything else to do. We have time to do everything else and apply time in every other area of life. But we can never slow down enough to make 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes for God, reading His word, learning the manual. Or you can look at it in a different way. It's the way you see the manual. Let me read this, because this is instructions on how to have a more fulfilling, abundant, healthy, joyful life. We almost see, I think some people will view the Bible as, well, that's boring, or well, I really don't want to do that, or it's not going to tell me anything that I'm able to understand. But it's even in the way you perceive that book, and that is also what determines how the way you perceive it will determine the way you receive. You receive what you read based on your perception of it. And so we have to first go back to the roots of why our mindset is the way it is. Another thing a lot of times we don't realize is that when we speak about 150 to 200 words a minute. And I said this, it was several shows before, we speak at 150 to 200 words a minute. But our self-talk is listed as being as fast as 1,300 words a minute. So that's a whole lot of words we're saying to ourselves. We're saying what we were told as a child. We're saying what past people said to us. We're saying what our boss has said to us. We're saying what our kids are saying. We're repeating all of those things in our head, not always positive, but usually, you know, a lot of times negative. And if a whole lot of negative things are going on in your mind, there's no way you can perceive your outside world to be anything other than negative if that self-talk is defeating you. And so first in order to have a new mindset, you have to be aware of what you're thinking about. And sometimes you got to slow it down. If you don't have time to slow down to get yourself better and to better your life, you won't have time to do anything else. But see today in knowing that this is the first day of the rest of my life. Do I want to repeat what I've done before, or do I really want to take steps into newness and wholeness? And it begins by stopping and being aware of what you say to yourself, because other people can't hear what you're saying to yourself, but you have to speak correctly to yourself. That's why Philippians 4:8 says these are the things that God wants you to think about. The healthy things, the pure things, the lovely things, the true things, the honest things, the just things, the virtuous things. When you're thinking of anything other than those, you allow Satan to come in. And if you give him one little slight crack, if it's just barely a little crack, he will slither in and he will have your thoughts so distorted and distracted that when you invite him in, or a lot of times you don't realize you invite him in, but when you invite him in through thoughts of defeat, through negative self-talk, through anger, hatred, there are so many areas that you will invite him in, and it becomes a wide open door for him. Sometimes you'll find that it's almost your whole day before you can get back on track when you fail to stop and ask yourself, what's going on in my mind?
Right. Kind of piggybacking on instant gratification, what Tika said, I just want you guys to really give some thought to that, because I think most of us listening tonight, we're probably more than 21 years old, I would say. And if you're on tonight, and a lot of you are repeat listeners, you've recognized something. You realize that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of that roller coaster. You're tired of being up one minute, down the next, because, as we said, Satan can come so quickly in our mind, or those negative thoughts can so quickly appear in our mind until we think we've put them there. We think that we don't even recognize how quickly they've come in and settled. But this is what tonight is about. If it's not positive, if it's not truth, if it's not things that are beneficial, then you need to stop right then. Keep the word. Just as, jumping ahead of myself here a little bit, but just as when Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he do? He pulled out the word. So if Jesus had to do it, I know I have to do it. But if I don't know the word to pull out, because I'm not reading my word, I'm not studying my word, I'm not going before the Lord in prayer, then how am I going to do that? A lot of us, we've not studied our opponent. We don't know the enemy to know when he's here. So, again, if Satan comes to the door, it doesn't mean you'll have to let him in. You know, I so often think, even in my own life, what would I do if I just saw God, if God just said, okay, I'm just going to walk around, I'm just going to allow you to see me this week. I'm going to walk around every day with you. You're not going to be able to turn from me. Would I be different? It's just like if your boss, for whatever reason, say your boss, the head guy, cannot work in his office, something's wrong, so he ends up sitting right across from you. Your day, your work day is going to change. Few people will work the same. They will be on pins and needles. Not that we have to be that way with God, but God deserves to be glorified through us. So if we're doing things, and if our mind is on glorifying ourselves or someone else, you know, we're failing right there. We're inviting failure, so to speak. And I think that's why a lot of us are walking around so feeling so without purpose, so emotionally up and down, and other reasons as well that I'm going to get into, because I think a lot of them also, those secret struggles of our mind is also from things that we just have not dealt with. We have, to me, become a society of dealing with things in silence, so to speak. We've forgotten that the truth shall set you free, regardless of how it may make you seem, if it makes you feel vulnerable or seem vulnerable or whatever. Of course, we have to say what we need to say in love and with self-control, remember that word, but we do need to express how we feel. And a lot of us are just walking around not doing that. We're just holding on to words. So instant gratification is not going to come. I think a lot of times, even when people decide to say that I'm going to change my life and I'm going to get, you know, more into church, I'm going to read my word more, you are not going to instantly get it. There's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of bondage. You know, you don't go to the grocery store and come home and with all these bags, and you unpack one bag and that means all the other ones are unpacked as well. You have to unpack each bag individually. You got to put everything up individually. So we want everything instant. But yes, God can instantly fix us. He can do all things. But there's some work that we need to do. So I think a lot of times we say, okay, I'm doing this, so everything should be perfect. But where would God be glorified if your life was absolutely perfect? People need to see the change in you so that they can say, you know what, I can do that. If there is such peace in her and I know that she or he is doing this, then that may be available for me as well. So our circumstances, sometimes we just need to let circumstances be circumstances or let whatever we see as issues in our lives. You never know what God is doing through your life. And I'm good for saying, if I'm going to be used by someone, let it be the Lord. If I'm going to be put in a situation where I'm not comfortable in, let me be put there. Let me know that at least God is there with me so I can go through that, because I know. I know that my steps are ordered because I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm seeking God. I know that I'm capturing those negative thoughts, those secret thoughts in my life. And remember, secret just means undisclosed. You're not sharing those. Another thing, I think we need to start sharing what we're going through in our lives, because other people are experiencing those same things. Remember, as I said earlier, many people are walking around with those same thoughts, with feeling of defeated and so forth. So if you go to someone and just be honest, sometimes just saying, you know what, I had a really rough day today. You know what I was dealing with? And it doesn't have to be selective, of course. You always have to be mindful and make sure that you're going to a person that has your best interest, because, you know, we are, we do pull people down. Sometimes, you know, like I said, hurting people hurt people, and sometimes it's hard for people to see you move forward and grow. People want you to stay where you are because that allows them to feel like there's not a lot about them that they need to change, that they're okay. So you have to be able to move outside of that state as well and want to bring people with you, as we said earlier. So that's just kind of speaking more on the gratification. And, again, we want God to fix things, just kind of coming back on what Tika said. And just keep that in, keep all this in mind, again, as we go through. And let's not live a life where we are focused on where we have problem-focused thoughts, you know, problem-focused. Let's have thoughts that are about life and so forth, because God is the solution for every problem we have in our life, every issue, every situation, just as he is a part of every part of joy that we have in our lives. He provides us a way of escape. Do we go there for it? Do we know? Do we go to the Word? Do we have, when we're tempted, do we have something, a word to put out? You know, I shared on that I had a lady in my life, and I thank God for just having spiritual women in my life. But I remember she used to walk around. I worked with her many years ago, and she would put scriptures in her pocket. She would come in with different scriptures and whatever she was going through, and when she got really stressed, it was a stressful job, and she would put her hands, she had her hands in her pocket quite a bit, but she'd be rubbing her hands on that scripture, you know, just feeding her mind. She knew what it was in there, but that's what worked for her. That may not work for you. Maybe it's memorizing it, but we do need to know. We do, and a lot of us is feeling, again, out of touch because we're so far away from the Word, from God. God gives us purpose. He gives our lives purpose. So if we're not in his Word, if we're not dealing with things that, because life is not going to be perfect. Everybody, every family, every person has something that they have had to deal with or that they did not deal with. No one's life is perfect. No one. So keep all this in mind, and I hope that you all are thinking about, and the lines are open, so if anybody wants to share anything, Teek and I was talking earlier, we're not going to keep you, realize that we've just kept going and going with time. It seems like we just keep getting longer and longer, and we don't want to keep you for hours and hours, so unless there's some feedback, we're not going to, you know, go on hours and hours, but we will do a full-hour show unless there's a great number of you that have some comments or questions. But I'm going to check real quick. The lines are open, so if anyone has any questions or if you just want to share something about your thought process, what's working for you, what do you do when you recognize that you're just kind of waddling in your mess and allowing your thoughts to become a bondage for you or strongholds in your life, because that's exactly what they become. Struggles become strongholds in our lives if they're not dealt with. So, again, God's Word is a way of escape. And I ask all of you, if you're not getting up, going before the Lord in prayer, and it doesn't have to be, we need to get out of thinking that you got to just lay out and scream and holler, and if you can't do that, you feel like you've not did it, or you can't do it, or if you don't have an hour or 30 minutes to commit to it, that you can't do it. But if you just, when you wake up, if your mind goes, if you just thank God for waking you and ask him to direct your path, to just thanking him for ordering your steps, speak it into existence, ask him to allow your thoughts to be thoughts of him, thoughts of his goodness, thoughts of things that he brings to our life. He is our strength and our weaknesses, and, you know, he's a healer, all the promises. If you just get up and put your mind on things like that, your day will go so much better. But a lot of us, if you be honest today, how many of us got up and prayed? How many of you have just thanked God for anything today? Anything. If you've not, then think about that. Think about maybe that's where you start. So getting back to the secret struggles, struggles just means that we're fights or brawls. And, of course, we're fighting ourselves. We're fighting our own mindset because we have a sin nature. And, of course, Satan, we know again why. I cannot say that enough. We know his purpose. We know why what he wants to do, and that is he wants to take our mind. He is after our mind because, again, what's in your mind is what, if you're feeding what's in your mind, then that's what's going to win. As the example I gave you earlier, that's what's going to win, whatever you're feeding. So don't feed the negative thoughts. Don't focus on those negative things that are happening in your life. The secret struggles, get someone that you can share with, talk to, and then go to the Word. Find scripture that talks to you about that, that gives you direction, because, again, there's something in there for every situation that you have gone through or will go through. And I learned, I was amazed when I really, really started reading the Word. I promise you, I remember one night just saying, it sounds like my family. Like, they were doing the same stuff back then that, you know, some of the stuff I've seen. And you don't, it's amazing to realize that, wow, some stuff really happened. So read it, find one that fits you. There's no reason that we should not be able to, you know, I have Bible Gateway on my phone now, and I'm amazed you can get it to send you word of the day or scripture of the day. There's so many things out there to help you tap into growing your spiritual life or your knowledge. So keep that in mind as we go through again. I want to check our time here. Okay. The lines are open. Again, we're not going to keep you too long tonight, but Tika, do you have anything before I move on?
I do. I wanted to just with connecting back to that scripture with a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. With this, with self-control, I wanted to share also that there is an emotion that's attached to self-control, and that emotion is love. Love is the emotion of self-control. But when love is our response, we tend to be able to act instead of react to life. And so when you're driven by love, you're not always reacting to outside circumstances, but it allows you to stop and think, embrace yourself, and use wisdom and use discernment in your choices in life. And another thing we've shared also before, another way in gaining control of your behavior is to be able to understand your emotions. A lot of things, even though we're seeking and we're sharing about ways of evoking change in your life, a lot of times change is almost impossible unless you understand why it is you do what you do. You have to be able to truthfully and honestly evaluate yourself, not point your finger at, well, this person made me turn out like this, and it was because of mama that I did this, and it was because of my daddy that I did this, and it was because of my boyfriend that this happened, and my ex-husband or my ex-wife made this happen. No, you have to give yourself an honest assessment. Recognize who you are, why you behave the way you do, why you lash out the way you do, why you reject the way you do, why you run the way you do. And it's basically understanding yourself. You have to be able to honestly understand your emotions, because you have to start from the core. The core is you. You have to start from the core. Everything outside in the world does not make up you, but there is one you. And so you have to be able to understand your core, and you have to be able to understand your emotions, because if you don't, you cannot control your emotions if you don't understand them. You have to be able to understand. In scripture, it says to understand yourself, you have to go back to the quarry from which that stone was carved. And so what family makeup and what family environment did you come from? You have to be able to understand that as well, and then to know that there are three basic emotions: love, anger, and fear. And you have to learn, be able to recognize what drives you and what is creating your thoughts. One of the strongest things that I always, one of the most positive things I always realize just for me is when I catch myself, because I've had to even pray and ask God, help me to speak positive, help me to think positive. I call on him for everything. I don't remember all the time, because there are going to be some times when you just won't remember to call on him. But when I pray and ask him to remind me when I'm trying to do it on my own, he will. It is in the choice of words that I choose to go to him in prayer. And so don't expect an instant change in you, because you did not become the way you are overnight. It took time getting that way. And a whole lot of times we as human beings, we want the quick fix. So when we try something once or twice, we throw it out the window. We say, oh, that didn't work. Well, no, it's not going to work one or two times. Sometimes it may take 10 times, sometimes 15 times. But that when you want that muscular body, you won't get it by working out twice. when you want to be small because you've gained some weight, you won't get small by eating right twice. It takes consistency. It takes diligence. And it takes having the mind control in order to stay consistent and diligent. You cannot do that without mind control. And that is speaking positive to you. Outside of what everybody has said to you, you stay positive and speak positive to yourself. You use words of reinforcement, and you choose environments meaning friendships and relationships that will edify you, not tear you down, not feed something into you that is untrue and that contradicts the word of God, but you surround yourself with what you know will feed you and lift you and mold you into what God wants you to be. Because when you go and surround yourself in those type of environments, then you walk out and you become that type of environment for the next person, and it feeds and it grows in that healthy way, versus if you go and surround yourself in something or area or an environment that will tear you down, then when you leave that place, you go somewhere else and you become that weed, like a weed, like we get weeds out of our garden because they will strangle the plants. You will become that weed. So don't become that weed. You want to become that food, that nourishment. You want to become that miracle grow in your garden of life. You want to be that miracle grow. And so surround yourself with those who will edify you and empower you. And if it's hard to find, pray and ask God to place new people into your life or show you what environments you need to go into. And you can also contact me and Tammy for that as well, because we edify each other. We will edify you, because what we give in love comes back to us in love. And our job is to build God's kingdom, build his community, and not tear it down.
Right. Thank you, Tika. And just for the sake, because I know sometimes people really will take things to the extreme, and we're not saying that there's no way to not think about what you are dealing with. The best way to deal with it, of course, is to think about it, but to think about it in ways to deal with it, to acknowledge, to accept, and to deal with it. So we're not saying you have to become passive and think that there's no work to be done. You just go to God and give it over to him. Yes, you do that, but there's some work required by you as well to give up those things or to get through those things. So don't take this as you have to become a passive person when it comes to dealing with your issues and the things that you are going through. Just again, don't allow your thoughts, your negative thoughts, to become captive. If you're going to be captivated by anything, be captivated by the positive thoughts, the good things, you know. I remember just for the first time, I remember when, and this has been years ago, it was so much joy in just seeing the sun set. It was just, if you've never, ever, ever taken the time to just really see or watch the sun set, it is life-changing. If you're at a place where you are trying to walk into peace or you're changing your life or anything like that, or just nature. If you just think about God being able to, I love the song, My Redeemer, where it says, you know, if you think about the sun knows when to set, where to set, you know, when to rise, the sea, you know, it says who told the sun, you know, when to rise and things like that, and where the tells the ocean where to stop and so forth. A beautiful song. But even if you find yourself in negative thoughts, there's so much around you that you could think about. If you have kids and they're not sick, you know, there's St. Jude out there. I say everybody should go to St. Jude and just see. There's so much joy in the midst of their storm. I remember visiting out there, and for those of you looking for somewhere to donate and give funds to, a wonderful place to do that, because they really do make their dollars count. But there's so much around us that we can choose to think about. And you can go back to those problems or those negative thoughts when you are ready to deal with them and you're trying to come up with a solution for them. But don't just sit there and ponder on what's going on. You know, sometimes the rain will make people flip out or just change their mood, the rain. take that time to say, I'm going to put everything off and get me some rest. There's so many other ways to look at things, so don't allow the negative things to keep you captive is basically what we're saying here. And deal with your issues. These strongholds, these struggles, again, I cannot say enough. I think a lot of times they come from just us pleading the fifth is what I like to say on that. Sometimes we think, I'm just not going to say anything. It's like we share with you guys before when someone asks you what's wrong. Clearly, if someone's asking you what's wrong, they picked up on something. Your mood has changed. Your charisma has changed. And they know something. So I think that's how society is dealing with issues and with things. They're not talking. They're not speaking in truth. You know, just I'm sure many of you can relate to, you've been around someone, they've agitated you, they've did something that you don't like, or they've said something that you don't like. They've not quite they're not doing what you think they should do. And instead of you going to them and sitting talking like adults and communicating, what you allow yourself to do is just say, well, I'm not going to say anything. They should know better. They should know when to do this and how to do this. But people can't read your mind, so to speak. So they don't know, and maybe they do, but sometimes you can help people by verbalizing what you are saying. So that just basically saying, say what you mean and mean what you say. Because once you put it out there, then if the person does or does not, now you know. There's no second guessing on if they knew. And then you can walk away from things. You can walk away from people. If you've given all of you and did all that you need to do and you have communicated your thoughts about situations. So I think a lot of the things, the bitterness that we're walking around with is because we're not dealing with our issues. We don't know what they are. And they're setting up, we're being captivated by them. They're allowing us for bitterness to set in, for fear, for anger, for unforgiveness, and things like that. So this is where the strongholds come from, and this is where those secret strongholds start to fester. So start dealing with people, start acknowledging within your own lives what's going on with you, certainly before you start trying to dictate to other people on what they should do and what they should not do. We're really good about detecting what someone else needs to do or what's going on in their lives, just as they are with us. So by the time you realize that someone has a stronghold, they have realized it in you as well, because our actions really show what's going on there. I'm going to check the lines real quick here. And then we're just going to start summing it up. Tika, you have anything?
I do. I just want to end it by just saying, guard your mind, watch what you think, and don't allow anything that contradicts the word of God to take root in your mind. You do have that control to allow what you want to come into your mind and what you refuse to let take root in your mind. That is something that we have control over, because a lot of times we do always know and realize, yes, God is in control, but you're in control of what you want to let come into your mind and what you want to allow to take root and live there. You have control over what you want to feed your mind. You have control over what you choose to water and nourish in your mind. You have control of that. And whatever you allow to live there, your actions will, if you don't stop to realize what's in your mind, pay attention to your actions, and your actions will always show you what you've allowed to take root in your mind, what you've allowed to live there, and what you've allowed to breed and grow. If you can remember that positive self-talk is what leads to self-control, and God cannot help you to gain control in your life if you're completely out of control. And if your actions are out of control, it's because your mind is out of control. And if your mind is out of control, it's because you've allowed it to go there. You've allowed everything outside of you to control what goes on in your mind. And you have the power. You have more power than you realize. Satan has no power over your mind. He cannot get in there unless you invite him in, and he cannot stay there unless you let him move in and stay. He can get out once you tell him to leave. So as a believer, carefully focus your thoughts on what you want to think about. Carefully focus your thought on what the word tells you to think about. Stay out of the future because God's not way up there. He's in your right now and today. Stay out of the past because he's not back there either. He's in your right now, today, today. Today is June 25th. He's in your today. Of course, he's going to be in your tomorrow when you get up there, but don't go up there racing ahead of him. Stay in today. As a believer, by carefully focusing your thoughts, this causes the release of God's power within you, and this will enable you to endure anything, face any fear, resolve any anger, renounce every worry and anxiety, and survive any type of stress that will come against you. And this will also help you to discover the joy of life that God wants you to experience. Paul says he wants us to rejoice in the Lord and rejoice always. So why would we choose to do anything differently?
And just remember, emotional buildup, when we don't deal with things, it turns into turmoil. It allows, again, bitterness, fear. And I'm hoping I'm saying these things to help you identify, because a lot of us live in fear, bitterness, hurt, you know, feelings of that come from emotional damage, because we don't speak up and tell people how we're feeling and what they did to us and how we feel about what they did to us and things like that. So don't allow your emotions to build up, because then you're setting yourself up to be lacking self-control or being able to control where your future, where do you go from here. So be transformed. And how do we be transformed? We need to become more Christ-like. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to take our cares to God. We need to read our word more. We need to take captive. Take those thoughts captive. Don't allow them to settle in your life. When they come in, if they're not of those things that we started out the show with, if they're not good, virtue and things like that, cast them out right away. Cast them out because they are not of the Lord. So, I want to just kind of end with all of you hopefully know the story of Joseph. If you don't, then you should take the time to study it. But I was reading on this, and I thought it was so timely because it reminded me of what Joseph must have did while he was in prison for all this time. And if you know the story of Joseph, you know his brothers were envy of him and jealous and so forth, and Joseph ended up going to prison for about 12, 13 years. And what amazed me is that when he was finally out and came up against his brothers and family, you know, he said, "What you meant for evil against me, God meant it unto my good," and to basically bring it to pass to save many people. And I just thought, you know, if someone in my family had caused me or, you know, been the root of me going to prison for 13 years or 1 year, would I be able to say to them when I came out what Joseph was able to say? So there was no psychologist that I know of. Joseph couldn't make an appointment to go see the psych ward to help him get through all of this. He had to spend a lot of time dealing with his mind, because I'm sure he had the thoughts. So I'm sure he had to just go before the Lord and pray for his mindset to be changed. So that was a really good story, and it's in the Word, you know, for him to come out, be able to come out and address his brothers in this way. So do we think of our circumstances as being just that? If we're in something that it seems like it's someone is meaning it for for evil or for bad towards us, you can trust in the Word by knowing all things come to the good or for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So I think what we do is when we don't stand on that, because we know or we doubt where we are in the Word or in our walk with Christ. So maybe that's why we don't trust or have so much faith in even the circumstances that seem like they're not for us or not for our good, that we don't have faith that even good can come out of every situation that we're in. Every situation that happens in your life, if you allow it to and you give it room to do so, it can can really be a growing spot in your life if you allow it. So in ending, you know, don't allow your personal struggles to be your personal strongholds. Again, this does not mean you can't think about things in order to take to acknowledge them and to come up with a solution to change them. If you're not doing this daily, start at least praying or reading your word. If you can't do both, and again, this doesn't mean you have to do 30 minutes, 15 minutes. God will work with you on that. If you take one step, God will take many. So, but you have to start somewhere. So I encourage you all, stop looking at the problems in your life and focusing on the negative and begin looking at solutions that God has provided for us as his children. Get your mind off the problems and onto solutions. Where do I go from here? And stop living in resentment of where you are today. Wherever you are, tomorrow is a new day. Yesterday is gone. So don't get in your car. We don't get in our car, drive forward and look backwards because we're going to hit something. We're going to crash. So keep moving forward. Find out what's holding you back and what you need to deal with, what issues you need to not allow to manifest in your spirit. And in closing, I wanted to share something that I found, and I'm going to close it out with this. I hope that tonight has blessed someone, blessed all of you, actually. And the lines are still open, so if anybody has anything, we won't leave if you have something. But this is, and I found this on, I'll give you the site. I want to quote this because I took it right off of someone's site. But this is the commandments reversed. And I wanted to share this because it's so applicable to life. It's so what's going on in the world and with having a church on every corner and everybody calling themselves Christians, I think our world should be different. I mean, people will say it's just fulfillment of the Bible, but that means we're acknowledging all the negative in the Bible. There's so many promises in there that could also be fulfillment of the Bible that we could focus on. So I wonder, after this show, are we focusing on the negative things of life in this world? And so to speak, I think we are as a world, you know, as a nation, as a world, so to speak. So these are the first commandments reversed, and if no one has anything after this, we're just going to end it. But these are, remember, reversed. Thou shalt have other gods before me. That's number one. Number two, thou shalt make graven images or idols, and thou shalt bow down and worship them. Number three, thou shalt take the Lord's name in vain. So this is saying that thou shalt. Thou shalt forget, number four, thou shalt forget the Sabbath day. Number five, thou shalt disrespect your father and mother and make a fool of them. Number six, thou shalt commit murder if you shall become angry with anyone. Number seven, thou shalt be unfaithful to your spouse and commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt steal and rob from other people. Number nine, thou shalt tell lies and bear false witness. And number 10, thou shalt covet thy neighbor's wife and home. So doesn't that sound familiar? And it sounds like that's exactly what's going on in the world today. So if we are a people that are making good choices and thinking on those things that are positive, how are we seeing so much in the world today? Now remember, the commandments say just the opposite. So if we were doing the opposite, would we be getting different? Would our lives be different? Would our thought process be different? I think so. So think about what you think about. And if it's not good, if it's not things of virtue, honest and truth, throw them out. Create a plan. Go before God. Go to what he's given us, his manual, his word, and ask God. If it's unforgiveness you're dealing with, then study unforgiveness. That's a good place, a good way to start. Whatever, acknowledge what you're going through. If it's a lack of self-control, there's verses for everything. So first, acknowledge what you're going through, what you need to deal with. Go before the Lord in it, and then you go back and you think about the solution to the problem or to the negative thinking. So I'm going to check the lines one more time, and if there is no one out there, here's your time. If you have something to get in, so go ahead and select the number one. If not, then we're going to say to all of you, thank you for tuning in tonight, go back, read up on some scriptures on this, and just tomorrow wake up with a new attitude and a new thinking process, a new think tank maybe. Think about those things that are positive and that will be beneficial to your life. Wake up in the morning and say, I will not allow a negative thought that will stay in my mind today, because they come. Don't you make the decision that they may come, they may knock, he may bring it, but you will not allow it to come in and stay. So on that note, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We will return next Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. As I said earlier, share with someone about the show, and remember the things that we have coming up in the near future. Thanks to all of you for tuning in tonight. We hope that you have a great, great night. Remember, no negative thinking. Thank you.